way up. Again, the cardinal steps forward in their path and sprinkles holy water over the coffin. Mrs. Kennedy and the two children behind the stars, behind the presidential flag. John Kennedy Jr. asking his mother questions. Both Mrs. John F. Kennedy and Mrs. Rose Kennedy, the president's mother, appear to be dry-eyed. The face of the Attorney General is a study in anguish. But he, too, and all the other members of the Kennedy family are dry-eyed. Not everyone has been here this morning. Now the coffin is gently slid onto the caisson for the last leg of the last journey of the 35th president. The flag is straightened out around it. Kennedys standing in reverent silence. Mrs. Kennedy leans over to talk to John Jr. Yesterday, a Secret Service man gave John Jr. a small American flag during the services at the Rotunda. John looked up and said, "Could I have another one for my daddy?" Family conference of some sort is going on, obviously about the arrangements. Mrs. Kennedy conferring with the Attorney General. Now the two children have been led away. It is either they are not going to Arlington and going back to the White House, or they are traveling in a separate car from that of Mrs. Kennedy, who is now getting into her car, followed by Attorney General Robert Kennedy. Mrs. Rose Kennedy walks extremely briskly, considering her age and the burden she bears today, to take her place in the next car. Now, out of the church, come President Johnson, First Lady of the Assad, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Earl Warren, General and Mrs. Eisenhower, and former President Truman. If Mr. Truman arrived by this front entrance, none of us here saw him, nor did we see Mrs. Kennedy on her way in. It is possible that they used another entrance to the church. The Eisenhowers, Mr. Truman, accompanied by his daughter Margaret, walking down the steps. We understand that Mrs. Rose Kennedy and Mr. Truman used the rectory entrance to the cathedral. The Eisenhowers, along with former Vice President Mrs. Nixon, Governors Romney and Rockefeller, Hatfield, several others, used this front entrance along with the other 1,200 members of the congregation. Mr. Truman and Mr. Eisenhower had a brief conversation. They have met since leaving office, usually at funerals, though they have called on each other at each other's libraries. Mrs. Eisenhower and General Eisenhower are both chatting with Mr. Truman. Seems as if these two men who have borne the burden of the presidency, which John Kennedy bore until day before yesterday, are destined to meet at a succession of funerals. They were together, we remember, at the funeral and interment of late Speaker of the House of Representatives Sam Rayburn at Bonham, Texas. Now Senator Edward Kennedy comes and is escorting the Eisenhowers and Mr. Truman and Margaret Truman Daniel into their car. At the Rayburn funeral, there was a famous picture of Mr. Eisenhower, Mr. Truman, and the then President John Kennedy. Mr. Eisenhower again, Mrs. Eisenhower, shake hands with Senator Edward Kennedy. The Attorney General stands beside him. And they are, in turn, getting into the first car, sticking their heads into the car to say a word to Mrs. John F. Kennedy. Partisanship and recriminations forgotten as two former presidents join in comforting the widow of a third. Mr. Truman and Mr. Eisenhower are again side by side. They are spending considerable time together today. Mr. Eisenhower takes Mr. Truman's arm to help him down the step. Both gentlemen, of course, in their 70s. Meanwhile, minute after minute of waiting for Mrs. Kennedy here in her car. No. Now, having taken their leave of Mr. Truman and Mr. Eisenhower, Attorney General Kennedy and Senator Kennedy have taken their places beside Mrs. Kennedy on the back seat of her limousine. The sky here almost completely cloudless, a few thin wisps in the distance. Overhead, the roar of an occasional plane, and you may hear some church bells in the background. But the scene is still extraordinarily quiet. It is obviously an enormous logistical operation to assemble all these limousines to get several hundred people into them. As the mourners disperse the church, some to go home as far away as Japan and Ethiopia, some to accompany the body and the bereaved family to Arlington National Cemetery, 3 miles away. Getting the order now, the procession beginning to move. Under a bright sun, it starts down the 100 yards or so of Rhode Island Avenue, where it will turn left into Connecticut, down to the river, across Memorial Bridge, to the cemetery, which is open to any American veteran, but in which only one previous president has been interred, William Howard Taft. Cars have fallen into line. We can see Mrs. Kennedy's veiled silhouette between her two brothers-in-law. Their car immediately behind the riderless horse. See Prince Philip, husband of Queen Elizabeth, sitting on the jump seat of a limousine, a seat that the consort of the monarch of England would seldom occupy, but the distinguished foreigners are being carried in as few limousines as possible, as presumably in their five or six. Mr. Johnson's car, President Johnson's car, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Secret Service men at least walking immediately beside it, others along the sidewalk. Now, the other foreign dignitaries are coming out.
Now, Paul Niven, now that the caisson has made its turn onto Connecticut Avenue, and before we check with our next broadcast point, it is perhaps time to give our stations a brief opportunity to identify themselves. We will continue in 5 seconds. This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is WCBS and WCBS FM, New York.
This is Neil Strausser at the CBS News radio anchor point in Washington. The body of John Fitzgerald Kennedy has left St. Matthew's Cathedral. It's being drawn by the white horses on the last leg of this last journey, as CBS News correspondent Paul Niven said, to Arlington National Cemetery. Procession is now on Connecticut Avenue and perhaps within view of our vantage point at 1001 Connecticut Avenue, and CBS News correspondent Stanley Levy.
From the roof of the building at 1001 Connecticut Avenue, we look down at the funeral procession as it proceeds down the avenue to the river, then across the bridge to Arlington Cemetery. The procession is facing now into the sun, and the sun strikes gold from the bell of the band instruments. Now the caisson bearing the flag-covered coffin comes into view, and behind it, stretched out, the limousines carrying the famous and the mighty and the noted of foreign lands and the grieving family of the president. In the awful 72 hours since the assassination of the president, I suppose many of us have been looking for explanations, solace, and meaning. I find my own in the expression that above all, truth beareth away the victory. Truth beareth away the victory. Now they are bearing away the body of the 35th President of the United States. It is almost directly below me now on Connecticut Avenue. An honor guard ahead carrying the American flag in a limousine. Then the six gray and dappled horses drawing the caisson. And the caisson, the flag-covered coffin. It seems incredibly small from this vantage point. Incredibly small. And along the street, quiet crowds are watching.